text 44. Yatha papiya sikirtir.
Yatha papiya sikirtir.
Adharmascha mahanrinam.
Adharmascha mahanrinam.
Yato virodha sarvesham.
Yato virodha sarvesham.
Yatha adir anantakah.
Yatha adir anantakah.
Yatha papiya sikirtir.
Yatha papiya sikirtir.
Vena, the son of King Anga, is doing the opposite. Instead of giving protection to the citizens, to the people of his country, being the son of the king, he's actually hurting them and harming them. So it is said that to successfully execute something, you need two things. You need both karma and you need guna. So guna actually means the qualities, the intrigues. So here, Anga's son, Vena, he had the karma. He was born in the family of kings. He was a kshatriya. But he did not have the qualities of being as a son of a king, not behaving as a kshatriya. So as a result of this behavior, then King Anga, being the father, was deeply aggrieved. He was very, when one goes through that King Anga, the opulence of his kingdom, he leaves all the country and he goes to the forest. So then how does this happen? So usually we see that in various aspects of our life, usually there is one aspect that is very important to us. We want to meditate on one particular aspect of our life and that becomes a very strong attachment for us. And then we chase after it. And after making a lot of efforts and after a lot of hard work, we may actually achieve what we want. And then that gives us temporary happiness. But we don't know that it is temporary. So we keep this case. King Anga was very son. He's suffering. So then what happens is that and son, usually when the son is born, parents have a lot of high hopes. He will bring us fame and name and he will bring us good fortune and all these things. And parents already are imagining a lot of things and expecting, having high expectations from especially a son. And then at the time of death, then the parents expect that the son will deliver them. Because there are a lot of samskaras that only a son can do for the father and mother after they have departed. So then he understood all this, and then King Anga, also being a pious and a sensible king, he knew that children should be reformed from early on. And since this boy was, even as a child, showing signs of demoniac qualities, then King Anga made a lot of efforts to reform him. He tried to fix his behavior by giving him, as mentioned before, a few texts that he, by giving all sorts of punishments to bring him to good behavior. And the children just said that better work on them when they are young. A stitch in time saves life, which means when there is a little bit, you have a cloth or a kurta which is a little bit torn, you fix it there and then. Or otherwise it keeps getting worse and worse and it comes off from the seams and it's completely gone. So similarly with children, if you work on them and if you are working on especially their character, which is considered the most important, at that young age, it is easy to correct them because they don't yet have a false ego. They're very innocent and they like to listen to the parents and they like to please the parents. That is their psychology. So then King Anga was trying his best to fix his son. He wanted to have a good son, not a bad son. But as we see that in spite of his best efforts, as mentioned, he was not able to fix his son's behavior. So then these couple of verses actually show his reflection, what to do now. He is now wondering what to do now that his son is not going to behave himself. He is going to behave in a sinful manner and this is bringing a lot of anxiety to him. So he's having two trails of thoughts. In one text he mentioned that, oh, it is those people who do not have a son must have actually done a lot of pious activity, that they do not have a son to give them misery. He was actually thinking like that. And then he's thinking, oh, maybe actually I'm better off because I have King Anga, because he is becoming detached. And comparing this to a fruitive worker who just wants to jump from one object of sense gratification to the next. A fruitive worker does not try to think and reflect that the time, energy, and effort that goes in to get moments of enjoyment is far, far more. The hard work that a person has to do to get even a few moments of enjoyment is far more than the actual happiness that we attain. It is said that for every moment of happiness that we get, we have either suffered for it in the past or we will suffer for it in the future. That is guaranteed. Nothing comes for free. And even then, it is unfortunately very temporary. It passes. We lose interest in it. And soon we move on to the next thing. So this is how the mentality of a fruitive worker is, that they move on to one thing and then to the next object of sense gratification and to the next, without realizing that all their hard work is actually in vain. But the Jnani thinks better than that. He's actually able to think and reflect and realize that there is actually no happiness in this material world. No matter how much hard work you do, you don't really get anywhere. But better than that is a bhakti yogi or a devotee who realizes that it is not about this material body, nor is it about enjoying this material world, nor is it about any happiness we are trying to get out of our pursuits. It is all about a relationship with Krishna. And that is called devotional service to Krishna. They come to a stage of executing devotional service to the Supreme. So here we have a material situation in which King Anga, being a pious father, is suffering because of the activities of his sinful son. And he decides, he's contemplating on leaving home, he's contemplating on becoming detached. So from different pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one thing that's quite common, which is that a lot of the kings, after having done their duties, their kingly duty, so there is enjoy materially, live an opulent life materially, get fame and name and family and children, all those things. So that is karma on mukhi sukriti. So you've done good things in the past. As a result of that, you're enjoying material opulence of all sorts. And there is moksha mukhi sukriti, which means that you have done karmas that enable you to attain liberation. And higher than that is bhakti mukhi sukriti, which means this sukriti, if you have attained by somehow intentionally or unintentionally helping a devotee or helping in some way devotion to Lord Krishna, then you develop bhakti and mukhi sukriti. And this takes you to devotional service. Then you get into a situation where Krishna puts you in the association of devotees so you can progress. And as is mentioned here, that King Anga, he's contemplating on going to the forest. Then it is mentioned that Varnashrama is actually designed like that, that one must go to the forest. So that's why this was his next step. He thought he was not happy in family life and it was giving him any pleasure, so this is the next step he had to take. He had to go to the forest. But then we have to be mindful of one more thing, that just aversion with a particular situation may not always lead to detachment. If a person just has hatred or aversion with a particular situation or a particular person, you may move on from that situation, you may be able to avoid that situation, but you will again put yourself in a similar situation because you have not become detached. For example, if Anga was too attached with family life, with having a son, he may have decided to have another son. This is a bad son, maybe the next one will be good. You see, sometimes, but because he had better sense, he was a wise person, and a pious king, for him, the next thing was detachment started to happen in his heart. He started to become detached in his heart. We also see the case of Maharaj Chitraketu. The desperation that he had to have a son was so great that he married thousands and thousands of wives. You see, and for him also, the son himself became the cause of his detachment. And here King Anga wasn't getting the son as a natural order of things. It did not occur to him naturally. He did not have a son, and he decided to have a son, and then he made, then the sages told him to do a special yagya. So after doing the special yagya to the Lord, then he was able to get a son. So sometimes when some things come naturally to us as a part of our karma, and they are okay to have. And some things, when we are desperately after them and we are stubborn to get them, and then we get them, that's when the problem starts, because they are not meant for us and yet we desire them. But it is said for devotees, the Lord fulfills our desire in such a way that he actually gives us the shelter of his lotus feet, and we become detached from that particular desire that we had. We no longer have that desire. So in this regard, it is said that misery can sometimes become an opportunity for us to become detached. And Srila Prabhupada tells a very nice, interesting story. He says that once upon a time, there was a man. He had 9 daughters. All of them were married, and they were living in their respective homes happily. So once there was a festival, and all the daughters with their husbands. But the son-in-laws are so happy living with them, because he's giving the nice hospitality that he's giving them, that they don't go back. They just keep on living there. Then the father-in-law feels, this is not appropriate. Somehow I have to give them an indication that they should go now. So what he does is, the next day, he doesn't give any salt to them in any of the preparations that he's cooking. There is no salt. So then one of them is quite sensitive, and he realizes, oh, there is something missing. You know, there's a lack of hospitality here. Something is not right. Maybe it's an indication we should leave. So one son-in-law with his wife, he goes. And then the next day, the father-in-law again doesn't supply the next thing. And then another one gets an indication, okay, maybe I should leave, he goes. So like this, all of them leave, but one of them, as Srila Prabhupada says, he was a real rascal, he doesn't go. No matter what he's deprived of, or no matter what he doesn't get, and you know, no hospitality, but he doesn't leave, he just wants to live there. So then the rest of the son-in-laws were also thinking, this is not appropriate, it is not a good behavior to have, we have to get him out of there. So then, they all get together and they beat him up. And eventually that's what drives him out of there. He doesn't go without that. So they all beat him up, and eventually he realizes he has to leave. And then others are more stubborn, and we need to be kicked really hard, and then only we learn our lessons. So, and then Prabhupada also says that it is like going to the forest. You know, we go to the forest looking for, going to the desert. It is like going to the desert and we're looking for water in the desert, but there is no water in the desert. One thing after the other will become the cause of our struggle. So it keeps coming, there is no stopping. Just like in the ocean, there are unlimited waves, day or night. So similarly, as long as we are in the past for the life, there will be waves of misery that will keep coming again and again. So then as Krishna also mentions to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparsa japoga dukha yonya evate adi anupantya kanteya na teshu ramte buddha. Na teshu ramte buddha. An intelligent man does not involve himself, does not engage in these material pleasures, because they have a beginning and they have an end. So an intelligent man understands that if I get involved, then at the end I'm only going to be suffering. So these are like two sides of a coin, suffering and happiness. If there is happiness, suffering is bound to come. Srila Prabhupada also says that we are trying to enjoy in householder life. But he says we are trying to enjoy with what? We are trying to enjoy with property that belongs to Krishna. So in a sense, he says we are thieves. We are thieves who are trying to enjoy with the property that belongs to the Supreme Lord. Because Bhokta Ramyagatapsam, only he is the one who is meant to be the enjoyer. Only he is the one who is the proprietor of everything. So everything belongs to him. So even if we have some opulence and qualities and skills, they have to be used in the service of the Lord, because they all eventually belong to him. You know, as I said, Lakshmi belongs to Narayan. It is meant, and Lakshmi Devi is always massaging the feet of Lord Narayan. So Lakshmi is only meant to be used for the Lord, service of the Lord, not for anything else. So then, when Maya kicks, then what happens? How should we understand those kicks? So then Prabhupada says that we should actually thank Maya. We should thank her for giving us this realization, because realizations are only caused after suffering. There are very few intelligent people who will actually understand without any suffering. Most of us only understand when we have to go through a lot of suffering. I mean, miseries. Miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by our own mind and body. So there are so many miseries that are caused, and misery cause, for the demigods, natural calamities. There is too much heat, too much cold, there is drought, there is famine, those kind of things. So then, these have to be seen as objects of a purification. And also sometimes some individuals are there, placed in their life, excuse me, by the mercy of the Lord. And their job is to purify us of our attachments. And therefore we should not become disturbed by their presence. We should not blame them. They are there for our purification. They are there because we have done something in the past to deserve them in our life. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that when one is separated from his family and relatives and his household and has the life, then one who is not disturbed by such separation is called dhira, or a person who is patient. It doesn't matter to him, he's away from the family and he has, it doesn't matter, he's able to move on. And then there is also sannyas, which is impersonalist sannyas, which means it is out of frustration. You are too fed up of material life, you are too fed up of your family life, and you just want to go away from it. But that is impersonalist sannyas, where you just are frustrated from one thing and you're thinking running away, avoiding it is the solution. However, it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava devotee is so attached to the lotus feet of the Lord that all these material opulences, material attractions, they no longer fascinate him. He is no longer attracted towards them. Just because he has become attached to something far more superior, he is experiencing bliss and happiness at a higher level. That is why this lower taste does not attract him anymore. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions here in text 46 purport, he says, he mentions about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj has said, Hitvat napatam brihmandu kupam. This is a very strong warning he actually gives about family life. He says, one can become so engrossed in the family life, in wife, in children, become so attached, that we just completely forget the real goal of life. And he actually calls it Griham Andhakupam. It's like what? It's a dark well. You know, in the forest there are usually wells. To get water they put the well, and then when you fall in the well, there's nobody in the forest to help you. So you just cry and cry and cry, and then you end, in the end you just die. So that is the destiny of a gross materialist. So then Prahlad Maharaj is actually giving this instruction to his own father, Hiranyakashipu. He says, Hitvatma Patam, he says, this is a place where all spiritual progress is stopped. Which place? Griham, a householder's life. They are not worried about the progress in spiritual life. They are only worried about their own householder activities. And then he says, Vanam Gato Yad Dharim Ashreta. Vanam Gato, go to the forest. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, better go to the forest where there is only Krishna consciousness. And then, Harim Ashreta, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of the life. So Prahlad Maharaj, even a 5-year-old boy understands this. But in this present day of Kali Yuga, even grown-up adults, we find it hard to understand this philosophy. So then, Srila Prabhupada says that it is actually not easy to give up your material attachments. And even Arjuna admits in Bhagavad Gita that the mind is so stubborn, doesn't listen, and work on them. We have to first admit that we have them and not nurture them and feed them. Because if we are nurturing them, then they will not go away. Then you will keep having them and then you are stuck with them. But if you actually first admit that you have these desires and you are nurturing your desires and you are fulfilling them, then after the admittance will come the reflection that you need to get over them, you need to become detached. And once you have that desire, then you need to sincerely pray to the Lord. You know, Srila Prabhupada always gives the example of this marriage party. It's early in the morning and this bridegroom with all his family members wants to cross the river and wants to go on to the other side of the river to get married. So the sun is still not out, it's still dark. And they all get into the boat and they start rowing. And after some time, the sun comes out. And then they realize that they haven't even moved an inch. Why? Because the boat was still tied with the ropes to the river bank. So the boat didn't move. So they were still rowing. So sometimes our spiritual life is like that, that at we are, although we are trying to progress spiritually, we are doing devotional activities, but at the same time we are very strongly holding on to our material attachments. We don't want to give them up. So then we're not really going to make much progress, because we are meditating on those material desires and material attachments, and we are nurturing them and maintaining them. So we need to loosen them up. We need to loosen them up in the sense we have to make a conscious effort to get out of the mode of nurturing those material desires. And in this regard, there is the pastor of Bilwa Mangal Thakur became a great saint afterwards, and he's written such beautiful poetry about Radha and Krishna. But the way he started was a great turning point in his life. He had become attached to a prostitute called Chintamani. And he had become so attached to her that his father's shraddh ceremony, he finished it off in a rush and he ran off to her. And how did he go? Because she also used to live across the river on the other side. And it was rainy season, so the whole river was in flood. And a dead corpse, a body of a dead man, to cross the river. And when he got on the other side, Chintamani's desire to meet her, to get her association, that he could not see the difference between a snake and a rope. So he used that snake to go up. And when he reached there, Chintamani was shocked. And she then eventually became her guru, because she chastised him. She said that in the dead of the night, when it's so stormy and it is so dangerous to be out there, you had the guts to cross the river. And then you had the guts to climb up using a snake. And she was actually disgusted with him, and she said, if you had had the same attachment for the Supreme Lord, you would have attained your destination. You would have got pure love of God. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur heard this. He was extremely shocked, because he was thinking that she will fulfill his desire, she will let him enjoy her association. But on the contrary, she was disappointed. You see, this is to this extent one can become attached in our desires, in the desperation to get what we want. So that's why Srila Prabhupada warns here that then Krishna will then plant somebody in her life who will actually become the cause of her detachments. And then that person, you should not see them as a... But if we constantly meditate on the facts that miseries come in life, because especially for devotees, they are orchestrated by Krishna. For non-devotees, it may be the result of their past karma, but for devotees, Krishna moves things around. It is mentioned that Krishna will move things around. He can bring forth some misery which was supposed to come 10 years later, will come now, because it will serve a better purpose now. Or something that a serious trauma or serious suffering that is meant to come now, Krishna will move it on later in life, because that time you will become more strong in your devotional service. You will be able to endure it. So you see, because a devotee is very, very dear to Krishna, he will not let anything happen to us that will deviate us from our devotional service to him. That's why he can even shift things around, even our karma, to allow us to progress spiritually. So this is a situation which a devotee has to face. But then we always have to remember this, that miseries and suffering for a devotee come from the Lord. They don't come from our natural reactions. Because Krishna says clearly in Bhagavad Gita that I will take them away. You just surrender unto me. So the extent that we surrender to the Lord, he takes them away. And then he slowly and slowly helps us in progress by bringing detachment. But it also has to be conscious effort from our side. The Lord is working on us. He's always working on us. He wants all of us to turn back to him and come back home, back to Godhead. But then we also have to make a conscious effort to go back to him and align our desires with his desires. And Srila Prabhupada has made this process so easy for us. He says, just chant the holy names of the Lord, and that will bring love of God. associate with devotees, eat prasad. And that is very simple. And what makes it easier for us, especially in ISKCON, is that we have so many festivals. We just had Janmashtami, which is so enlightening. And it gives us a boost of energy where we can put our extra effort. We wouldn't be able to do it if the Lord was not reciprocating with us. Because the Lord reciprocates with us in the heart, that's why we are able to push ourselves so much and do so much service for Him. And then now Radha Ashtami is not too far, only a few days away. So in Goloka Vrindavan, Dham in Braj Vrindavan, there is a place called Rasa Mandala. So Rasa Mandala is it's a beautiful place. On one side of it is Satsaranga, the mountain that has manifested as Govardhan in Goloka. So once the Supreme Lord was in that forest, and it is said that there were beautiful Malati flowers and Malika flower gardens over there. And he was sitting on a throne in that garden, a gem-studded beautiful throne. He was sitting on the throne. And he suddenly had this desire to enjoy. And the moment he had this desire, from the left side of his body came a beautiful lady. And it is said that she was dazzling like millions and millions of moons. And she was wearing a diamond necklace and a beautiful garland of Malati flowers. And she was wearing a silk sari. And her smile was so beautiful that when Krishna saw her, he wanted to enjoy with her. And she was none other than Radharani. So she, when she understood the Lord's desire, she immediately ran to serve him, to get some flowers for him. So this is how she got her name Radha, because Ra means from Rasa Mandala, Devendra Rasa Mandala, so Ra, Rasa. And Dha means from Dhavamana. Dhavamana means running. So the minute she appeared, she was running to serve Krishna. That's how she got her name Radha. So it is explained that this is how her appearance in Golok Dham in the spiritual world actually appeared because when Krishna wanted to enjoy, he cannot enjoy alone. So then his spiritual energy manifested herself from within him, and she took the form of Radharani. And this is how she appeared in the Braj Vrindavan Dham. And then they were both enjoying. And they are both one, they are not separate. Radha and Krishna are none other than but Krishna and his internal energy. So we have such sweet pastimes, and now that Radha Ashtami is just around the corner, if we meditate on these pastimes, it makes devotional service very enlightening and sweet. So I'll end here. Are there any comments or questions or corrections?
Yes, Krishna. Why did Ashwatthama have a jewel on his head?
That question is a bit out of context. But I can answer it later for you, yeah?
Is that okay?
So let's focus on the verses that we have covered today. Okay. Yes,
Krishna. We hear the past one. Radharani appeared.
They're always there. So it's that is the thing. It is very difficult to understand because with a limited intent, the past and how she appeared in the material world, but then how come she appeared in the spiritual world? But then we have to know that with a limited intelligence, how much can we understand? And we have to have faith in the pastimes that the acharyas have told us and how they manifested in the spiritual world. And in due course of time, with the mercy of the Lord, when we become eligible, then this theoretical knowledge also becomes realized knowledge. That is how I can understand, but you can comment on it. Yes,
please. In 146, at the end of the book, the first thing is someone is having a bad sun. It's a great book, as you see in the place of Maharashtra. But if someone is having a good sun, where they expect that they're going to be able to have more people going up. If someone is neither good or bad in the medium, and a person enjoys his family life, what's the hope for them, you know? What's your advice for them?
No, Prabhuji, not my advice, but Prahlad Maharaj has clearly given his views on that, and he has explicitly said, it's what is it? If you have a good son, fun, and if you're thoroughly enjoying your family life, you're in Griham Antakoopam. That's it, you're finished. So there is no problem in having a good son. Like there is an example of Kurma Brahmana in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it is mentioned that he was very opulent. He had good family life, he had fame, name, he had wealth. And he had the good fortune to wash the Lord's feet and they drank the water. So Kurma Brahmana, although he was a householder, but he was completely detached. And he understood. He understood that this material life is a householder life is a risky situation. So and he said, you can remain in your householder life and yet become a great devotee. You see, the choice is ours. To become completely engrossed in a grihastha ashram, in a householder life, or to live a life of detachment in spite of so many attachments. You see, as a householder, we have husband or wife or children, parents, grandparents, relatives, wealth, detached. So that is up to us.
Can you mention how if you are facing trouble, then you see as Krishna's mercy and how he wants to improve. But what if you reach to a state where you feel like it's getting too much and you start really demotivated in your devotional life? How to keep that? Of course, understand so much that this is your karma or it can help. But it's sometimes where practically to apply that, it gets really hard in life.
It does not mean that if difficulties come in our life that we do not do anything about it. We always make a reasonable effort. Like for example, when we get sickness and disease, we usually go to a doctor. We want to fix it. Right? We make a reasonable effort to get out of it. Or if there is the house is leaking, you don't see, oh, Krishna's mercy, we have to get wet and not be able to sleep all night. No, we will try to do even other things in life that we do. Our focus ultimately to engage in devotional service, then all those efforts are also counted as part of your devotional activities. And it is not that you let a situation become so severe that then it starts to disturb you. It is always good to get, not wait for it to get there. You must get good counsel.